Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff? Only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk. Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on PBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Yes, I do. Hey, welcome everybody. No, that's okay. Welcome to the Junk Refund Show. I am looking for that.
Oh, you don't need it?
No, I don't need that. I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. I am here at, that was a really nice lady from Reliable Recycling in Frederick, Maryland, who just wanted to make sure I got the right receipt for some scrap metal that I just dropped off. Anyway, welcome to the show. She walked up to the truck window right when the intro stopped. So there you go. I'm having fun up here in Frederick. I just came up and delivered a set of weights to some people that purchased them, and there's a little bit of, I guess, common sense involved in some of this selling stuff. I've been doing sales for 40 years, first 10 as a stockbroker, then as a training salesman for a productivity company, and then 20 years selling our services for junk removal. And simple economics tells you that the lower the price, the greater the demand for the product. So we cleaned out, 3 or 4 weeks ago, the home of a good friend of mine who had a very nice weight room / putting green set up in his house. And he had a bunch of hand weights. He had 17 individual hand weights, and they anywhere from 5 pounds up to 35 pounds, dumbbells, you know. And those suckers weigh a lot when you get them all together. We put them in the back of the truck. We put them up for sale, I think, for like $500. Then we dropped it to $250. We had a few people interested at $250, but nobody came through with the cash. And today I just went, you know what, let's just get these sold. And I dropped the price to $100. And within 5 minutes, I had people asking me about it because I knew it was a great deal for them. And a lady said, yeah, I'd like to get these. And she lived about 30 miles north of where I was. And I was interested in getting them off the truck. And I said, do you want to pay us an extra $25 and I'll bring them up to you? And she said, sure. So I did that and took these weights, which have been sitting in the back of an open bed truck for about 2 weeks. We've had some rain here in Washington. So they weren't perfectly clean, as you can imagine. So I took some of our handy wipes, you know, that I keep in the front of the truck, and I wiped off each individual weight. She was not there when I delivered them. She wanted them just put on her porch. I wiped off each weight, tried to make them as clean as possible, put them up on the porch. She was thrilled. So $125 goes to yours truly for the sale of those weights. The gentleman that had us clean out his house gets 35% of the $100. He'll get $35 for his weights. A lot of companies would have taken them to a scrap metal yard and nobody would have gotten anything back. We're not big fans of that, even though we love scrap metal yards. But if we can sell them for more and everybody makes some money, then great. The lady that bought them, a lady named Lexi, is thrilled because the price dropped $150 this morning and within 30 minutes they were sold. My point is, if you've got some stuff and you want to get it sold, sometimes you just have to bite the bullet and drop the price and take what's out there, especially right now in the Washington, D.C. area with all the government problems that are going on with the funding resolution that, as far as I know, has not passed yet. And we're now about a month into that, or close to a month into that. You got a lot of people around here who haven't had a paycheck for a few weeks. And, you know, that cuts back on what you spend. I went in and got my hair cut this morning. And while I was in there, I walked right in, no appointment. And there was one person in there getting their hair cut. And immediately they helped me. They called the lady from the back and said, "Hey, June, you know, can you help this gentleman?" "Sure can." And I made the comment when I sat down in the chair that it's kind of nice to walk into where it's so quiet and everything. Well, she then explained to me that with what's quality of what's going on. And that's true, at least in the Washington, D.C. area. So when you want to sell a bunch of weights, you go in and drop the price, and within, I don't know, an hour, hour and a half of dropping the price, those suckers are sold, they're off your truck, and you have some cash that was sent by Zelle to our bank account. Remember the price. If you alter the price and you drop the price, the greater the chance you'll get the thing sold. And simple economics tells you the more potential buyers that you'll have checking out what it is you're putting up for sale. This happens in our business where we take stuff and we try to resell it. If it's good, we try to resell it and make some money for everybody instead of just taking it home ourselves or dumping it off at the dump and then going out and doing the next job. So with that in mind, let me tell you where I've been the last 48 hours. We had a wonderful couple, an older couple, at least in their mid to upper 70s and maybe more like their 80s. Live down in Covington, Georgia. Covington, Georgia is 30 miles east of Atlanta. I didn't know that 72 hours ago. Now I know where Covington, Georgia is. It has a beautiful, many beautiful homes there that take you back to the Gone with the Wind era, where you have the, you know, kind of the pillars or columns along the front porch. And I took a picture of four or five different homes there. But one of those homes is a bed and breakfast called 12 Oaks, like an oak tree. You might want to Google that just for fun. This is worth the time to Google this. Look up the 12 Oaks bed and breakfast in Covington, Georgia. When Margaret Mitchell, the author of Gone with the Wind, came to Covington and saw that mansion, she wanted it in the movie Gone with the Wind. And they did it. They put it in apparently at the very beginning of the movie. That mansion is in Gone with the Wind, and it is frankly spectacular. It's large, it's beautiful, and it makes you feel like you're back in Civil War times. You know, I mean, it's just a spectacular Southern mansion. Well, that's in Covington, Georgia, as are a bunch of really cool Halloween decorations that I saw. People down there know how to do Halloween really well. And I just had a blast flying in on Monday, and those of you who have listened to this program before will not be surprised to know that I flew on Frontier Airlines, my go-to airline. It was a nonstop flight from Baltimore to Atlanta that left at about 7:30 Monday night, so I was able to work all day Monday. The price of that flight was $15. That's a one followed by a five. That's the total price. Confirmed seat, exit row seat, plenty of extra legroom, reclining seat, free carry-on, board the plane first. There you go. So those of you that are sitting back going, "Man, there's a lot of crappy things going on in the world," I'm here to tell you that while that crappiness is going on, you can get on an airplane and fly, what, 500 miles an hour from Baltimore to Atlanta for $15. I get that rate because I'm a member of the Go Wild annual pass. I'm a Go Wild member. I pay $600 annually to be a member of that club. And then I get cheap discounted airfares that most of the time can only be booked 24 hours in advance. So when I booked my flight to Atlanta, I didn't know I did it Sunday because then the Monday fares all of a sudden drop in price for the Go Wild Pass members. And sure enough, there's the $15 fare. If I had booked the exact same flight as a discount Den member, which is basically their frequent flyer program, if I had booked it on Saturday, that fare would have been about $120. But I waited until Sunday. Now it's within 24 hours because it's a Monday flight. And I booked that baby for, it says $16, but it comes out to $15, I don't know, 30 cents or something. The actual airfare for the flight is one penny. And it prints that out. It shows that on the screen when you go in and make the reservation. The other $15 are the airport taxes that you pay to Hartsfield International Airport, I guess, or the Frontier pays, that they don't have any say over. You can't get rid of that. So I fly around the country basically for one penny plus whatever the airport taxes are. So I can go from Washington, D.C. to my beloved Salt Lake City, Utah, where I have 8 siblings and 4 kids and a bunch of family and my 94-year-old mother. I can fly out there one way for $25. So I go round trip to Utah for $50. I go from Washington, D.C. to Atlanta for $15. It's also good internationally, and Frontier goes to a lot of places in Mexico and the Caribbean. I took it to Puerto Rico one time, a flight out of Baltimore. That was, I think, only $30 or $40. The airport taxes are more expensive for the international destination. But you can imagine, you get on the plane, you have the best seat, you have plenty of legroom, it reclines, you're the first to board, you get priority everything, you know, everything but free food, right? And it was $15. And anybody can do this. I mean, it's not, you know, there's nothing special about me. Anybody can go in and buy the Go Wild Pass. The thing that's really cool about it, I'm in my third year now of having it, is that the last 2 years it has not cost me $600 because Frontier comes in about 5 or 6 months before they're all supposed to renew. These run from May through April. That's the fiscal year that the Go Wild Pass is run. They come in 6 months in advance, which is about now, and they say, okay, all you guys that currently are Go Wild Pass members, if you want to renew for 25/26, or I guess it would be 26/27, you can do it for half price. So I go in and I pay $299 and it buys me another year. Now, show me a better deal. The one flight that I took on Monday night saved me, that one flight saved me $155. The other thing that's cool about this is you don't have to buy the yearly pass. You can buy it monthly. You can buy it, I think the first month is like $99, and then they come in and bill you like $149 a month, which adds up to a lot over 12 months. But you can do it that way if you want, or you can buy a 3-month pass, you know, for, I don't know, $199 or $299. I think most of them are $299. Yeah, I think you even have 6-month passes you can buy it for $299. I just get the annual pass and just say, okay, see you in a year. And then I fly the heck out of it all over the place. So that brings me to my next adventure, and I got to go back about almost 2 years now. This would go back to about Valentine's Day of 2024. I think we did the show. We did the show on Thursday, which is either the 13th or 14th or 15th of February. I can't remember. I think it may have been the 13th, but I don't remember. Anyway, I talked about a young lady on that show named Tina, who I had discovered on the online dating world about 3 weeks before and was so fascinated by just how that I had to find out more about this. I just had to find her. I just, you know, this girl just really looks cool. I spent the last 20 minutes of that show, whatever day it was, the week of Valentine's Day of 2024, talking about this girl I didn't know, that I never met. And it took me 3 weeks to track down how to find her and get her cell number, because she was online on Match.com for a week. That's when I happened to run across her. And then a week later, she was gone. And I think she is such a beautiful woman. I just think when she puts her profile up there, she gets hits from around the world, I think. from guys who are just going in saying, wow, hi, how are you? Well, tomorrow night, at the same about 4:30, well, a little earlier, 4:30, I get on another Frontier flight up in Baltimore, nonstop to Atlanta, $15. I bought the fare this morning, and I'm going down to spend Halloween with Tina and the weekend, just helping her do some stuff. She bought a home down there, a really nice home, recently, and I'm going down to just help her get some stuff done. I'm renting a pickup truck at the airport, and then I basically said, hey, you got me for the weekend, put me to work, and that's what we're going to do. Anyway, it's really fun, and I just have to tell you, switching topics here, but all of this has to do with how to get some of the junk out of your life, like how to get the junk out of your airfare travel life. There's a way to do it. Use the Go Wild Pass. How to get the junk out of your dating life, work your butt off, and be consistent for 12 years like I did, and maybe in the 10th or 11th year, you'll run across another Tina. Maybe, maybe not. She's rare. I'm just telling you. She's really rare. She's exquisite. But personality-wise and everything else. So I'm really excited, as you can tell, to go down and see her. But it goes back to the episode that I did a year and a half ago about her, talking about this girl I'd never met. And I really didn't know at the time, if I remember right, I think I had finally tracked her down. And one of the great things about this is, she is a flight attendant down there in Atlanta. When I finally tracked down what looked like to be her cell phone, I sent her a message, told her who I was. I said, is this, you know, Tina that flies for so-and-so out of Atlanta? I said, if it is, I found you on Match.com. If it's not, forgive me for interrupting your day. A minute later, after I sent that text, I get a message that says, it is, exclamation point. And then she asked me, you know, how do I know you? Did we, have we communicated before, kind of thing. At that moment, when my text went through, she was having dinner with the flight crew that she worked with that afternoon. And guess what they were talking about? One of the people there, I think one of the pilots, had just said, you know what? If it's meant to be, God will just make it happen in your life, and it will come together out of the blue. Whammo! My cell phone text goes through and her phone beeps. And there we go. Now, that's just, that's like almost, you know, good enough to be a movie, okay? But that's what's happened. And over the course of a year and a half, I've just gotten to know her better and better. And the great thing is, thanks to Frontier, it's a very small world and it's a very economical world. And I can fly down, leave at 4:30, be in Atlanta at 6:30, which I'll do tomorrow night, and we'll be giving out candy to trick-or-treaters by about 7:30, something like that. And I'm really excited to just go down and spend some time there. So, I have no idea what the future holds here, but, you know, I think if I said dreams do come true, that that is accurate. That's the way that it feels. And when you've seen literally thousands of people on the online dating world, like I have, because I tend to spend a few minutes each day late at night, you know, last thing I do each day usually, just checking to see who's out there, who answered my messages, or did somebody message me, or whatever. You do that consistently for 10 years, and you're going to look at a lot of people, a lot of people. And I lay claim to the idea that I may have worked this online dating world better than any man in the world. I really think I could make that argument. And lo and behold, good things happen with that kind of effort. So anyway, there's the first part of our show. I'm cruising at 60 miles an hour down I-270, headed back to Rockville, Maryland, from Frederick, Maryland, where I just came out of a scrap metal yard. And you're listening to the Junk Refund Show. We'll come back and talk more about what else happened down in Covington, Georgia, in the last 48 hours, because there's some unbelievable stuff that happened. Stick around. We'll tell you more.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, so I am, this is Alan, your host of what we dubbed last week, my friends, as, and I think we're right on this, the world's longest running junk removal radio show. There you go. Take that one to the bank. We're in our third year, maybe our fourth year now, something like that. And nobody that gets in the, you know, behind the wheel of a truck and goes and hauls away couches for people is sitting there going, hey, I could have a radio show. Except yours truly, who, you know, is always looking for that competitive edge, right? That just hopefully makes you last longer than others. That brings me to my good friend Warren Buffett. And I say that not tongue-in-cheek. I say that honestly. I will tell you the story, probably part of this show. I should just tell you the story. I think I've done it sometime in the last 3 years. If not, I'm crazy, and I should have. But I am slowing down right now, being a good boy, obeying the law, and stopping to drive through at about 10 or 15 miles an hour, the local way station that they check all the trucks to make sure, you know, nobody's overweight, etc. So I didn't have to stop. I just go right through and whammo, but my truck is big enough that it technically needs to go through the way station. So I was a good boy. Okay, back on the freeway. You know, people, a lot of people will feel like, and I really believe this is common, that they need more friends or they want more friends, right? That is, generally speaking, a need that many people have, and they wish that they would have more friends. Let me tell you how you get them, because I tend to just, in all humility, make more all the time. I sent out a few years ago, I got in the habit of going to CVS Pharmacy and buying the cheap Christmas cards. That's not a slam against CVS, it's just a price comment. You know, you get 16 cards for like $6 or something like that. And I would go in and buy some, and because I'm living by myself, I don't have any real responsibilities after work. I don't have anybody I need to look after. I don't need to take anybody to a soccer game or whatever. You know, I just can do whatever I want. So I've got some extra time. So I made a list of people. This was a good 7 or 8 years ago. I made a list 1 year at Christmas time of people that just really meant a lot to me, who had helped make my life better. People I was grateful for. And as a kid who started at the age of 25 as a stockbroker, by the way, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, when I went to work at age 25, was at 3,200. Okay? Anyway, I made a list, and on that list was Warren Buffett, whom I didn't know. I had read about him. I love reading his annual reports and the letters to the shareholders, because I'd been a stockbroker. I'm always, you know, looking for who does this investment game the right way and who's been successful over time. And Warren Buffett is as great as anybody, maybe the best, at buying and selling stocks and whatever, bonds and stuff. So I thought, you know, he's really helped me. He has helped me through his writing, through his integrity, through just the kind of person he is. So I had read someplace that his wonderful wife every morning put $2.87 exact change in Warren's car, so that on his 5-minute commute to work, he can stop at McDonald's and get a sausage egg McMuffin, which was part of his routine. Well, I read that, and I thought, you know what, for Christmas, I'm going to give his wife the day off. And so I took $3, and I stuck it in his envelope, and I handwrote him, as I did with everybody, handwrote, you know, Christmas cards thanking people for just the cool people that they are, etc. And I sent it to Berkshire Hathaway in Omaha, Nebraska. And in that first year, I said something like, hey, thank you for what you've helped me learn in the field of investing through your letters to the shareholders year after year for so many years. Thank you for your integrity. And I read that your wife puts money in your car every day so you can, you know, pick something up at McDonald's on your way to work. I said, as a Christmas present, I would like to give your wife the day off. So enclosed is $3, which I'd like, you know, you're welcome to use to go to McDonald's and tell your wife she's got the day off. And that was it. And I sent it off to him. 2 weeks later, I get a letter in my mailbox from Berkshire Hathaway, corporate headquarters, Omaha, Nebraska, office of the chairman. And I carefully open it up, and here is a beautifully typed letter that says, "Dear Alan, thank you so much for your generous gift of $3, which I spent this morning at McDonald's on my way to work, period. My wife also appreciates the day off, period. But then get this statement, I'm not making this up. Something like, I'll paraphrase, you know, mildly here, quote, it was great of you to remember me, period. Now, I have learned since that Warren, who on any given day or any given year, historically, has been either the wealthiest guy in the world or certainly in the top 3 to 5, and I believe that's probably still the case now, depends on how much he's given away and stuff lately, but he is traditionally, you know, arguably one of the wealthiest people in the world and probably the greatest investor of all time, right? And I have also learned that he gets about 300 letters a day in his office, right? What are the odds he's going to respond to mine? Not great, right? But he did. And sent me this beautiful letter, and that was year one. Well, every year since then, including during the years of COVID, I sent him $3. It's just my thing. I sent him $3 around Christmas time so I can buy his breakfast at McDonald's and give his wife the day off. One year, about year 4 or 5, I sold some stock that had done really well. And I told him about it in the letter, and I said, hey, I had a really good thing this year, so I've enclosed an extra $3 for your wife to send her on a shopping spree. And I said, recognizing that she's married to you, I'm sure she'll buy at least $10 worth of stuff for $3. Whammo, 2 weeks later, I get a letter back from corporate headquarters in Omaha, handwritten, by the way. The first one, the first year was typed out. Since then, they've all been handwritten. And he says, "Dear Alan, thank you so much." And this was during COVID times, I think. "Thank you so much for your generous gift of $6, which was really needed this year. Period. Now, if you had Berkshire Hathaway's corporate ATM card and you went to the ATM at 7-Eleven and wanted to take out $40, and that prints out the receipt, right? Tells you how much cash you have left in that account. If you have their corporate debit card, the amount of money at the time that would show on that card as your remaining balance in cash was $132 billion, that's with a B, dollars, slightly higher than my available leftover amounts in my accounts have been over the years. But yet here he is telling me how great it was that I sent him $6, which was really needed. And then he said, and as far as my wife's ability to spend money, don't worry about her. She's even cheaper than I am. There you go. That's a quote. So here I am, you know, with Warren Buffett as a friend. We're on a first name basis. We handwrite Christmas cards to each other. We've done it for 7 years. And I give him $3 and he always appreciates it. I asked him one time a question that he had been asked. He got his master's degree at Columbia University because Benjamin Graham and David Dodd, Benjamin Graham is kind of the father of value investing at the time. Warren went there to learn from Benjamin, to learn from him. And they wrote a book called The Intelligent Investor. And one of the things that Benjamin was stating in his book is that the three most important words in investing are margin of safety. And what he meant by that was don't buy a stock unless you're buying it cheap enough that not much bad can happen to you. They illustrated, Warren illustrated by saying, if you're going to build a bridge, you're hired to build a bridge over a little river in the city, and the bridge has to carry 10,000-pound trucks, you don't build a bridge that'll hold exactly 10,000-pound trucks. Because some idiot with a 15,000-pound truck goes over the bridge, and the bridge collapses, and then you got problems. You actually build a bridge that'll hold 40,000-pound trucks. And then the law is, don't cross it unless you have a 10,000-pound truck. That extra 30,000 pounds of what do we call it, strength, is the margin of safety. Okay? That is a very safe bridge that will probably not collapse and will probably not have a lot of problems in its existence. So Benjamin Graham would go through the balance sheet of the financials of a company, and he would figure out how much is one share of stock in this company worth using all the numbers. And then he would basically say, okay, if that answer is, you know, $50 a share and the stock is selling for $120, that may not be a good buy. But if it's $50 a share and it's selling for $25, how in the world can you go wrong? That's simplified, but that's the idea. So you buy stuff at low prices where there isn't, you just really can't have much go wrong, and you tend to buy stuff that's out of favor at the time. So when Facebook came out as a publicly traded stock years ago, it came out at $40 a share. Then sometime, I think about a year later or something, it dropped to $20 a share. Now think about what's happening. The best minds on Wall Street got together and said, we think this baby is worth $40 a share when it's born, and we expect it to grow and be worth more later. Then, due to, I can't remember what circumstances, it drops to $20 a share. So yours truly goes in and buys it at $20 a share, right? And all I'm believing is that Facebook's not going away, right? I haven't even looked to see what it is lately. The last time I looked, it was in the 200s, and it may be in the 400 or 500s now. I have no idea. I just haven't looked. But I bought it at $20, and then that sucker just, over time, takes off. Another one that I did back in COVID. Remember the problem that happened with Carnival Cruise Lines? Remember the ship that was docked someplace during COVID, and the people couldn't get off because of health reasons? Carnival Cruise Lines got all this negative publicity, and their stock went from something down to about $7 or $8 a share, $6 or $7, $8 a share, right? So I go in, and my philosophy is kind of simple. You know, we're gonna solve this virus somehow. It'll take a few years probably, but this is not going to kill us, and it's not going to end the world. We just have to figure this one out and stay in there. But in the meantime, the cruise industry is going to get hit. So are a bunch of other industries. So I go in and buy the stock somewhere around $8 a share. And the last I looked, it was around the high 20s, right? Because time has taken its toll. They're out sailing again, running commercials. People are having fun, and we're not talking much about COVID anymore. If you buy something for $8 and 4 years later, it's tripled, you're making a lot of money as a percentage basis every year, right? A heck of a lot more than what you'd make in the bank. Those kind of things, those kind of approaches came from Warren Buffett's advice and his letters and his education. And so, hence my thrill. So one of those years, when I sent him a note, I asked him the same question Benjamin Graham had been asked, and that is, what are the three most important words in investing? Is it still margin of safety, or is it durable competitive advantage, which he had used at his annual reports and in his letters for a number of years? And this was, you know, in his Christmas card and stuff. He wrote me back on a handwritten note. Here I am. Durable competitive advantage. Merry Christmas, Warren. There you go. From the expert. Okay? So, when you're looking for a business, and you want that business to survive and do well, remember those three words.
durable competitive advantage. And he will use examples like Coca-Cola, and he will describe it as a castle surrounded by a very deep and very wide moat. And in order to get to the castle, you have to cross the moat. And that's very difficult for any company or army or whatever you want to call it to do. So you establish a successful business, and then you set it apart with barriers to entry that are going to make it hard for anybody else to overtake. And he would say stuff like, you know, how much money would you have to spend in order to replace Coca-Cola with a new bottling company? I don't know that you can. They're too entrenched. So durable competitive advantage is also three great words to remember and to apply to your own business. Now, some story about what I was doing at Covington and George, you got me started on the thought of durable competitive advantage, and I can't remember now why that was. But I think what happened is when I was in Covington doing this job, I went down Monday night. I'm helping an elderly couple who, for various reasons, which they explained to me, but I won't recite them here, do not have any money set aside for retirement. They are living off of Social Security. They have a modest home. It is not very clean. The gentleman, when I shook his hand and met him, is not ready to walk out on stage at the Academy Awards. I mean, you know, but that's not the issue. The issue is they're good people living a simple life, and they needed some help. She is on oxygen. She has COPD, and he's helping them, and they basically wake up in the morning. They have some breakfast. They sit on the couch. They watch TV. They take a nap. They repeat, you know. And he had held a yard sale because they wanted to get rid of some stuff that was in the house. The lady who is on COPD, on the oxygen, and has the tubes and et cetera that follow her everywhere she goes, was having trouble in one of their bedrooms, one of the rooms of the house, was having trouble working in that room. It used to be kind of her office where she did lots of craft work, particularly jewelry. She made a lot of jewelry and sold it as costume jewelry. So she was having trouble now getting around in the house, and there was just too much stuff in this room, and that was one of the main things they wanted me to clean up. But they also had set up a couple of tents out in front, had taken a bunch of stuff out in front to do a yard sale, and the yard sale didn't go very well. They made about $70 in one whole weekend selling some stuff. And so now you've got a couple of tents sitting out there in front of your yard with a bunch of stuff in them. And they're, you know, these people are close to 80, if not past 80. They can't just pick up the stuff and solve it themselves. So with that as a backdrop, I'm going to give you a couple of surprises of what happened when I was there the last 2 days doing this job, because it's just interesting stuff. And we'll take another break here real quick for a minute. And you're listening to Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook, talking to you now from just outside of Chick-fil-A at Research Row in Rockville, Maryland, where a number of months ago I interviewed a guy named Brad Woods, who is the operator of this Chick-fil-A restaurant. Anyway, I am here. I'm going to grab a shake after the show is done as my reward for doing the show. And we'll be back in a minute and take you through the last segment of the show and tell you more about what happened in Covington, Georgia in the last 48 hours on my recent adventure down south to help people get some junk out of their lives. We'll be back in just a minute.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook, sitting here in Rockville, Maryland, in the parking lot in the shade of Chick-fil-A, where I love to come. It's only a mile, maybe 2 miles or something from where I live, to do this last segment of the show. This has been fun. So I was talking about this job in Covington. My eyes were opened to what life can be like if you have no retirement. You basically live off of Social Security, thank heavens for that, or you wouldn't have any income coming in. And it's a very simple life, right? This situation was kind of humbling. And on the one hand, your heart goes out to these folks. On the other hand, I told them one time as I was kind of taking stuff in and out of this house, I said, you know, thank God you guys have each other. I mean, you can sit here and watch a TV program and you've got each other, and you know, that's better than being by yourself, right? So there's some positive to this. But I guess what I'm saying is kind of the undercurrent of this is don't overlook the need to plan for retirement. Sometimes the circumstances are such, which is kind of what happened to these people, that, you know, a job comes and goes and something doesn't work out and time moves on and pretty soon you're in your 60s or 70s and there's not a lot of money set aside for retirement. So anyway, I went down to help these folks. Day one, I did 5 pickup trucks of stuff. Shout out to Hertz Rental Car, who gave me a great deal on a rental car, or truck actually, pickup truck there at the airport. But I did 5 pickup trucks of stuff. The first one went to the scrap metal yard, which was right down the street from where they are, literally about a mile away. And by the way, I go around the country doing this. I never, all caps, never figure out where's the scrap yard, where's the dump, where's Goodwill before I get there. I just know that they are there someplace. And what I'm hoping is that they're close to where the job is. If not, then they're not. But sure enough, right down the street from where I did this job, big sign by the highway, 2-lane highway, says, "We buy scrap metal." I went, perfect. Those are my metal guys. So I took a load of metal down there, and I ended up taking, I think, 2 loads down to these guys and probably made $25 each time. Then I did couple of loads to Goodwill. Right in Covington, maybe 5 miles from where the house is, there's Goodwill as part of a big strip mall. Do the donations, take it there, get the receipts, take it back. But the cool thing was, as I was driving through Covington, I saw something that you frequently see in cities around the country that has to do with junk removal, and that is a small yard sign stuck at an intersection corner that says something about junk removal. And sure enough, here was a yard sign that said something about junk removal, and it had a phone number. And I thought, well, that guy or girl, whoever, that guy, let's say, will know where the dump is. So I called the number. And I got a great guy who was just starting in the junk removal business. And he told me that. And he said, yeah, he texted me some information. He goes, yeah, use these guys over here. And then when I went into the scrap metal yard, I asked the same question because they'll know where the dump is too. I said, where's the best dump for taking furniture and stuff? Here. And they wrote it out for me. Here it is. I went to it's the county dump in Covington, Georgia. And you go in with a pickup truck and the minimum charge is $30. I've gone to some dumps where the minimum charge was $15. I've gone to some dumps where the minimum charge is $195 for a pickup truck of stuff. Anything in the 30s is great. I'll take that all day long. And I ended up doing a bunch of those there. So I ended up doing 8 pickup trucks of stuff all the way. Maybe half of them came from the tents that were outside, and the other half came from the inside. But here's the cool thing. Outside, under the tents, was a bunch of costume jewelry, individually wrapped, you know, necklaces, bracelets, earrings, that kind of stuff. A bunch of it on display that didn't sell during the yard sale, right? Well, these people don't want it back. And I started to grab the jewelry and set it aside. Well, then I go inside, and sure enough, inside the house, in the room where this lady ran a jewelry business, is a bunch more in large gallon-sized Ziploc bags full of sets of earrings or necklaces or bracelets or charm bracelets or charms that go on the bracelet. And you get a bunch of that little, we'll call it metal, even though it's not metal, you get a bunch of that little stuff together in a package, and that stuff weighs some decent weight. So we have, and I've had her as a guest on the show as well, Leslie Sandler. You might want to Google that name. She's been on our show maybe 6 months to a year ago. She is a jeweler here, not far from Chick-fil-A where I am right now. And I take her all of my costume jewelry. I tend to take the gold and silver, you know, rings and sterling silver sets of silverware and whatever that I get. I tend to take those to a couple of places where they jewelry stores that will buy it for its gold or silver value. But Leslie gets all of the, let's say, the lower price stuff. And I drop it off to her. She goes through and she buys all this costume jewelry. And I have taken her, you know, maybe a quart, maybe 2 quart sized, you know, buckets of jewelry and got an offer of, you know, $800, right? Well, by the time I finished this job in Covington, I had more jewelry than I could handle. And I was just compiling it basically and putting it in these bags and then loading the bags into the middle seat of the pickup truck. And it was heavy stuff, and I filled up that middle seat. Well, by the time I was done, I finished the inside room. That was their priority. They wanted me to take the kitchen table and the 6 chairs, but I didn't have room for that. And I had already maxed out the amount of stuff that they had paid me for, so we were in good shape. But I did finish off that room, and I kept finding more bags, little bags, big bags of jewelry. And it weighed a ton. And so I put it in the truck. And when I was finally done, I left. I went to the dump for the last run and then headed back to the airport, about an hour drive back to Atlanta to catch the flight. Again, a $15 flight back to Baltimore, which worked beautifully. But I had a whole bunch of jewelry in the middle of the truck. And there is probably, I'm going to guess, 30 to 40 times the amount of stuff that I've ever taken to Leslie before. This is a small heist of jewelry, costume jewelry. So this is not sterling silver. It's not gold, but it is well made. It's cute. It's individually wrapped for sale. And I think it's worth a few bucks. So I'm totally curious to see how much Leslie is going to pay me for this jewelry, but it's going to be a record, you know, more than just by sheer quantity, unless for some reason there's something wrong with this jewelry that you can't tell at, you know, with the naked eye, which is always possible. But I think it's going to be a record, and based on simply the quantity of it, and I can't wait to see what that is. The people inside, the older couple, you know, obviously know that there's some jewelry that I've taken, but they don't, I don't think they understand, because I didn't tell them, you know, what the potential here could be. But anything that we sell for more than $20, they will get 35% of the sales price. I cannot wait. I hope to death that I get a big number of the amount of, you know, whatever we're going to be paid for this jewelry. If you base it on what we've been paid in the past and base it on the quantity, this could be a really big number, like 5-digit kind of number. If there's something not accurate about it, or maybe the quality is not great or something, I don't know. Then maybe we'll be surprised. And maybe it's all crap and it's just not worth much at all. But I have trouble believing that based on how it looks and how well it's been put together. So
I have a small problem. I have to get back on the plane and come home. I do get a free carry-on as a part of my deal with Frontier Airlines, but I didn't have a carry-on bag. I just traveled down with a backpack. So I went to Goodwill in Covington for $10.50. I bought a carry-on bag. I then put it on the seat in the back of the truck, and I take all of this jewelry, and it completely fills up the carry-on. Plus, it fills up half of my backpack. So I'm now walking around, headed back to the airport with a boatload of jewelry in the carry-on bag and with another 20, 30 pounds maybe of jewelry in my backpack. I go through, you know, TSA, and I had heard rumors, I had seen it online, that not many days before that, there were 7-hour delays at the Atlanta airport because of TSA and the government employees not getting paid by the government because of the shutdown. And so on the back of my mind, when I headed to the airport looking at it and thinking, okay, I'm going to get there at about 2 o'clock, but my flight doesn't leave until 4:30, there's another 7-hour delay. I don't have a prayer of making this flight, in which case I got to sleep overnight at the airport and catch the next flight the next day or something. And my $15 goes bye-bye, which is not a big deal. Well, it turns out when I got there, no big crowds, and the monitors overhead said TSA, you know, wait times 7 minutes. And I went, thank you, Lord. This is great. And I'm carting around this massive quantity of jewelry. So I go to the TSA, you put it up in the bins, they run it through the scanner, and I went, you know what? It's going to get rejected because the scanner can't see through all this jewelry. And sure enough, they took both my bags and set them over to the side, and a gentleman grabbed them and said, whose bag is it? I said, it's mine. And I explained to him, it's full of jewelry, and that's probably the problem. And he goes, yep, it's heavy. I said, yeah, and that one right behind it's even heavier. So he went through it, checked it all out, zipped it back up, everything's good. Then he takes the bag, carry-on bag, goes through it, checks it all out, everything's good, gives it to me, and yours truly has passed the government portal that now allows me to transport this stuff back to Maryland to get it into the hands of Leslie. Now, that was one of the first things I did this morning. Leslie's out of town until Tuesday, so I have it in the truck with me right now. And, you know, I had visions of dollar bills dropping from heaven as a result of this. I've got to now wait until Tuesday for that vision to come true, and I hope it does come true. We will see. But in the meantime, there are a couple of retired folks, good salt of the earth, nice people down in Covington, financially strapped, who may get a little bit of a surprise with some cash coming their way that they weren't expecting, because our company took the time to buy the bag at Goodwill, load up all the jewelry, get it through TSA, get it up into the overhead compartments on the plane, get it into the truck from BWI Airport, drive it back here, and play around with it until we get it into the hands of a jeweler next Tuesday who has the ability to turn it all into cash. I'm here to tell you, and we transported it, you know, from Atlanta to Baltimore. Most junk removal guys wouldn't do that and wouldn't even think of doing that. They either would have taken it to a scrap metal yard and made a few bucks because of its weight for the metal, or they would have, you know, just thrown it away at the dump. Not us. We're looking for those values, like Warren Buffett. We're looking for values that get overlooked by other people that will turn into cash and make everybody win. And that's what we're excited about. Well, now we're in a position to do that. I've got the carry-on bag right here, my $10.50 purchase at Goodwill, which was awesome. And I've got a second bag with the stuff that was in my backpack sitting next to it. And I just have to hang out for 3 or 4 days till Leslie gets back, and then we'll take her over to her. And then sometime within maybe the next week after that, I will get a text message out of the blue from Leslie that says, the offer is, and then it'll be a dollar amount. And I will report back to you what that dollar amount is when it finally comes through. I am hoping it is a really high number, just based on the quantity of stuff that we're taking her and how much she's paid us in the past. And I'm hoping that we can surprise these folks down in Covington with some money that they weren't expecting, so that the bottom line is that everybody wins, everybody comes out of it better off. We didn't waste the best stuff that was down there, which is the jewelry. And somebody, you know, multiple customers out there who would eventually buy this from Leslie will get a great deal as well. Leslie will make money. We will make additional money. Everybody wins. And the customers who paid for this job would make money as well without having to do any of the work. That's the bottom line of what we do as a company. And we have done it for 20 years. And we have all kinds of stories about stuff that money that we've made for people, money that we've paid people by selling their stuff. We love to share those ideas here on the show because it sets us apart. And it goes back to those three words that Warren Buffett wrote to me handwritten at Christmas time a few years ago. The three most important words in investing are durable competitive advantage. So in my business, that means you want to set up a business that does more for people than the regular junk removal business, that gets talked about a lot for free, because when people get a refund back, they tend to say something and speak up. That's a good move. And is fun and is basically set up. And it, you know, we can do everything that the other businesses do, but we do something more. And I think in some ways we do a lot more. So I will tell you that this young man that put the yard sign on the road that is in the junk removal business is just starting out. And he told me that when I called him to find out how to get to the dump. And I said, hey, I've done this for 20 years. I'll tell you what I think. So I told him what I think, and I gave him some ideas and gave him some thoughts. He said, man, you sound like the real deal. But he actually said that line after I told him I do a weekly radio show as well. He was stunned. I told him, yeah, Junk Refund Show. Look it up and listen to the podcast in the past episode. I mean, that the credibility that you get from doing a radio show is marvelous in our business or any business. It just gives you a bunch of credibility, and it's wonderful. So he was impressed with that. And, you know, you think about what this could lead to, but we're getting to the point where, you know, instead of, you know, selling, you know, jobs where you clean out somebody's home, you start selling franchises around the country and teach those people how to do what we've done for 20 years and make it fun for them and build on the success that we've had and the track record that we've established. And then everybody wins and off you go. This young man in Atlanta may be, as an out, it's probably a stretch, but he could be our first franchisee. We'll see. I'll keep you posted. But anyway, he was looking for ways to get known because he was struggling. And I said, you know, you need something that has a durable competitive advantage, something you do and that you're good at that no other junk removal company does, which gives people more and more reasons to call you and not somebody else. That's the bottom line. So anyway, that's been my week so far, and we're only halfway through the week. And now Halloween is tomorrow, and I'm headed down to Florida to party with my friend Tina and just have a good time giving out, you know, treats to little trick-or-treaters and, you know, go to parties, I don't know, dressed up in costume or something, who knows. But anyway, it's a wonderful life, like Jimmy Stewart used to say, and I hope with what we talk about on this show that we make your life better, that you can sense some of the joy that we feel on a day-to-day basis, regardless of what's going on in the government, regardless of what's going on in the world, regardless of whether, you know, Putin and Trump have talked lately or whatever. Regardless of all that stuff, you still have the right to be happy, and you have the right to be successful, and you have the right to have an enjoyable, adventurous life. And that's what's going on with this kid and with people that I try to associate with. And that's one of the reasons we do this show, is to help you not only get the junk out of your homes, but also out of your life. Great thanks to our producers, Don and Doug Newsom, for all that they do, and for BBS Radio TV, who is the network that we're on. We appreciate all that they do. It's never been easier to do a radio show than it is right now. And if you want to get on the radio, call me and I'll show you how to do it, and I'll point you straight to Don Newsom, and he'll take it from there. Anyway, have a great week, folks. Can't wait to tell you what happens to us this next week, but frankly, right now, I don't know what it is. We may be going to Akron, Ohio next week. I'll keep you posted. Thanks for listening. Have a great week, and just keep working to get the junk out of your life, and I'm telling you, it will happen, and you'll be very happy. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.